Hello and welcome back to the Business of Living podcast. It's good to be back with you today, and we are going to tackle a topic that is near and dear to my heart, and I've titled this one, Be the Warren Buffett of Family Investing. Guess what? This show ain't about money today. This is about investment in your kids. Before we get started here, not that this is a big deal, but last week I said, welcome to episode 52, and it was actually episode 53. So I was wrong. This current episode is episode 54. Just wanted to clear the air on that one. All right, let's dive in. Y'all know me. You know that family is important to me. I spend a lot of time with my family. I've built my business in a way that serves my family. I've actually built my business around my family lifestyle versus building a business and then seeing where my family fits in. So this is a topic that I'm super passionate about, but I also want to have a conversation about it because I think I can learn something. I think you can learn something. If you have kids or you want to have kids, this is a great opportunity to refocus and to get super clear those most important steps and actions that you want to take that are going to make the biggest difference in terms of your family relationships. I don't think I've ever heard someone say, yeah, I like my family, but they really come second. Work is most important to me and then my family. No, nobody says that. There's a reason for it because everybody thinks they should prioritize their family. And they say they do. Even corporations do this too. They'll say, oh yeah, we're a family first corporation. Just put your 80 hours in here per week, and then we'll have a family picnic once a year. We're very family first here. It's funny. I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law and my sister. My brother-in-law is a psychiatrist who works with kids, and my sister also works with kids as a psychologist. They also have two kids of their own, and they have spent years studying child psychology, and they're pretty plugged in with the latest studies that come out about parenting and child behavior and all those sorts of things. A pretty recent study showed that mediocre parents is all a child needs in order to have a successful life. Well, that made me feel pretty good. I make a lot of mistakes and I have a lot to learn, but hey, I can be a mediocre parent and my kids will still be okay. But if I'm honest, I want my kids to be exceptional. And I want them to be great. I want them to have amazing lives, lives that impact the world in a positive way. I want them to be able to leave their legacy, to fully step into their purpose and the reason why they are here on this earth. I want them to find that and to really live that out. And I was thinking about this. And I started to think a little bit deeper about why I want my kids to be successful. Why I want to be such a good parent. I had some honest moments with myself, and it wasn't all about them, I'll tell you that much. Can we talk about this a little bit? Why we want to be known as good parents? Why we want our kids to turn out well? I think a lot of it has to do with us and how it makes us look, right? If your kid's a loser, what does that say about you as a parent? That you failed. You didn't do your job as a parent well. Yikes, that is not what we want to feel as parents. But like anything in life, the problem with that perspective is it's about us and how we look rather than about them and how we are investing in them. But I think this is where we get in trouble as parents. We start to do things to make us look good as parents versus simply being in pursuit of the best for them. Let's talk about a couple of these things and just call them out. Reasons why we want our kids to be successful, for them to turn out right, so to speak. Because I don't want to be like my parents. I don't want to make the mistakes that they made. How many times have you seen that? My parents did blah, 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 and I will never do that for my kids. Or I will never let that happen in my family. Again, seems innocent. You want better for your kids, but it shifts the focus off of truly thinking about them and what they need and about you. I don't want to be like my parents. I think that's an important distinction. Some parents have picked up along the way that the best way to provide for your kids is to have a great income, to have all your expenses and needs covered and then some. And that's how I support my kids. If you could peer into the counseling offices of every psychologist who is talking with wounded, now adults who had very difficult situations with their parents, how many of those conversations are about their parents not making enough money? I have a lot of deep conversations with people, and they often tell me about the relationships with their parents. And it's never about not having enough money or not having enough stuff. Never. It's always about presence. It's always about being there. My dad was never around. He worked so much. Or my mom just wasn't there. She was so busy with work. And so, yes, we certainly are obligated to provide for our kids and make sure they have their needs met. But when does that end? How much are we paying attention to their emotional needs? All those ways that we can speak into their lives and invest in them just by being around them. Sometimes we parent because of the people that are watching, other parents around us, or maybe even our own parents are watching, or people we look up to. We feel like we need to perform for them. Have you ever done this? I have. Stepped up my discipline because I knew someone else, another parent, was watching. So I was a little bit more dialed in to making sure I did that the right way because someone was watching. If we're honest, a lot of our parenting is about us and what other people think about us. And I think that's where most of our challenges and struggles come from in parenting. So if any of this is resonating with you, like it does with me, because I struggle with this stuff too, but have a hard, honest conversation with yourself. In what ways are you parenting because of what other people might think? In what ways have you lost your focus and have gotten distracted from the real goal of truly wanting to set them up for a remarkable life? All right, let's transition. So if it wasn't about us, if that was completely gone, our motivations did not come from what other people think or some other idea that we picked up that was not really about our kids, what would it be about? I think you want your kids to be happy. You want your kids to be able to make good decisions. You want them to feel loved. You want them to be able to develop that tenacity and grit needed to live a successful life, to overcome obstacles, to weather storms, to see things through. I want my kids to live up to their potential. I want them to find spouses and mates that will make them better people. I want them to love and be loved and respected and to live a fulfilling life. The list is long. There's a lot that I want for my kids. I love what Andy Andrews says about parenting. He wants to create successful adults, not great kids. Because sometimes when you want your kids to be great, you'll just give them what they want so they'll shut up in public, right? Or stop whining, stop embarrassing me, even if you don't say it out loud. Sometimes it's just downright embarrassing. And it's inconvenient and difficult to parent. Now, if you're creating great adults, if your focus is on preparing them for a successful life as an adult, sometimes that's going to reflect poorly on you. It's going to be chaotic. It's going to be loud. It's going to be inconvenient and inefficient. And so when you shift your focus toward preparing them to be great adults versus just having them appear to be great kids, it changes the strategy. I'm starting to see that my kids respond to what they see me do a whole lot more than what I tell them to do. And so I'm seeing that. I mean, that's convicting for me. I need to model what I want them to learn. Kids learn from what they see rather than from what they're told. And kids don't really care about what you have to tell them, frankly, unless they feel loved, unless they feel that connection and that trust with you. And that connection and trust is built through relationship, through being present, through being involved in their lives. So I think that's the starting point here. And I want to share with you the two focuses that you can. I want to share with you two things to focus on you that I want to share with you two things to focus on that I think will dramatically improve your parenting. I think if you focus on these two things, that you're going to see a significant improvement with your kids. Number one, building the relationship. There's a lot of ways to do this, and I don't have this locked down by any means, but I want to share with you a couple things that have worked well for me, and hopefully it'll inspire you to put your own spin on developing this relationship with your kids. And it's never too late. It doesn't matter if your kids are one or two, or if they are in their teens. Like, now is the best time to start. Okay, the first thing, I think we have to be detectives about how our kids feel loved. If you have heard of the five love languages, quality time, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch, our kids feel loved in different ways. And so we have to observe and watch them and experiment and try different things and see what really makes them feel most loved by us. And they're going to feel loved by all these things, but there is going to be one or two of them that rise to the top. So we want to focus on those for each kid. Another one is one-on-one time on a regular basis, taking some time to spend doing something that your son or daughter loves to do, just one-on-one, just you and them together. That's when some really cool conversations can happen that aren't going to happen in the context of the family or a larger group. There's a lot of things that we do as a family that we just do together. So things that I might do on my own or my wife might do on her own, we just try to do them as a family. For example, taking a walk together after dinner, we'll do that often. Just kind of have conversations. There's no distractions. We're just walking along. There's nothing else you can do but talk to each other. Some really cool conversations happen. We eat meals together whenever possible. We want to all sit together at the same table and, again, be connecting, talking about what's going on with each other, having conversations, looking back on the day to see what happened, talking about what's coming up, talking about what was hard today or what went well today. Those are two great things to do as a family to really deepen relationships with your kids. Every Sunday, we try to do a Bible study together as a family and sing a couple songs together. And then we just talk about what we read. You know, what do you think that meant? How can you apply that to your life? Another thing we do is if one of our kids has a soccer game, the whole family will go. We'll bring chairs, we'll bring some snacks, and we'll watch that kid play and support them and cheer for them. If another one of my kids has gymnastics, we'll all try to go to that too. So whenever possible, we want to support whatever kid has something going on where they're performing or practicing or playing a sport. We all want to be there, cheer them on, get behind them, encourage them. And sometimes it's just connecting in the house. Like, oftentimes we'll put on some music in the kitchen while we're making dinner and just start dancing and acting silly. Before we know it, all five of us are dancing around like like crazies, having a good time. So we try to just live life to the fullest with whatever we're doing. It doesn't always have to be some special activity. Sometimes it's just having fun at home. And inevitably in real life, real difficult conversations come up. And we don't shy away from them. We welcome them. I want the most important conversations my kids are going to have or the biggest questions they have, I want them to come to me regardless of what the topic is. Like, I want them to feel comfortable and safe and trust me enough to bring whatever is going on in their lives to me first. So if they ask me a question that makes me feel uncomfortable or is maybe sexual in nature or something that I might not have the answer for, I secretly am like, yes, they trust me enough with this. They're not talking to their friends at school about this. They came to me. And so I want to welcome those difficult conversations. And guess what? I screw up a lot. I make mistakes. And it's hard for me to do this, but I apologize to my kids when I make a mistake. If I get super angry because they didn't listen to me, I'll say, buddy, I'm sorry. I lost my cool. And that was not a good way to react. Or maybe I said we were going to do something and we didn't do it. I dropped the ball. I'm really sorry. Please forgive me. How we would want them to treat others and how we would want to be treated, I mean, it's not complex, right? We want to model that behavior in everyday life. So that's that first thing to focus on, is doing life with your kids. Be fully engaged, fully present. Make it a priority to build that relationship on a daily basis. This is hard, but it's not a very long time. My father talks about this all the time. The period of time when you're raising kids, and he had four, is a pretty small part of your overall life timeline. I mean, you might have 35, 40 years where it's just you and your spouse after your kids are grown up and gone. Go all in on this. You'll have plenty of time to make more money, but you're not going to have plenty of time to continue to invest in your kids. And what's the alternative? If you push this off, you're going to have to live with that for the rest of your life and watch the negative effects of that unfold in front of your very eyes. I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Just be present. Be engaged in their lives. Be interested. Be involved. All right, the next one here is to live well. What? Live well? Yes, I'm talking to you. Your life. Like, what does it look like for you to live a life that is inspiring and that your kids would want to emulate? Remember, they learn more from what you model than what you say. So give them something to look at. Give them something that's inspiring to look up to. Are you enjoying your life? If you're not, if you're miserable, don't expect them to want to be like you or to want to listen to you. So what is it you want for your kids? Are you living that out for yourself? Are you investing in your marriage? Are you taking care of yourself, eating right, exercising? Are you doing work that matters to you and fits you? Are you working hard? Are you leaning on God for help? Are you making time to have fun with your friends? Are you living life to the fullest? You know, one of the greatest gifts that we can give our kids is living a full and abundant life ourselves. I want my kids to live an abundant life, and I need to give them an example of that. So that is their expectation, that they would have joy and they would have life to the full. So I'm going to pursue that for myself in conjunction with being present with them and investing in them. So I have a question for you. What have you been neglecting in your own life that contradicts what you're telling your kids right now? Don't take that tone of voice with me, right? That's a silly example, but stop telling your kids what you're not modeling. I hear a lot of dads say, I'm working really hard and sacrificing my own life so my kids can have a good life. Okay, I get what you're saying there, and there's some honor in that for sure. But do you want to model a life that's sacrificed to the point where your potential isn't being pursued, where you don't have joy and abundance in your life? I want my kids to see me living life and say, that guy is alive and I want to be fully alive as well. None of us are perfect as parents. It's impossible to be, and it's very challenging to both support your kids financially and also support them emotionally and give them the love that they need. But if you're going to mess something up, mess up the financial stuff. You can recover that. You can fix that. But don't drop the ball with your kids. Love covers a multitude of sins. Let your primary focus be on loving them, being present with them, modeling an inspired life for them, and you'll do a heck of a job as a parent. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of the Business of Living podcast. We are continuing to forge ahead. I have some exciting guests coming up that are going to add a ton of value to this conversation of living life to the fullest. We're working on a new website. We're working on some new merch that we're going to give away here soon. So thank you for being with us on this journey. And I love hearing from you folks. So shoot me a message on Instagram at The Business of Livin' if you have any suggestions. Or maybe you want to share something that you're working on in your life as a result of what you're listening to here. Or maybe there's a question you'd like me to answer on this show. I'd be happy to do that as well. Reach out and shoot me a message. Be bold. Don't be shy. I've had some great messages come in recently, and I love having that interaction. So please reach out to me and let's connect. Have a wonderful week. Enjoy these last weeks of summer because the best season of the year is coming. That's right, the fall. So have a good one, folks, and we'll talk to you soon.